Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Kicking your week off a little early with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. I had Dan on the line for a minute, but he has seemed to have disappeared, so hopefully he will regroup and get going. If you'd like to call into the podcast, though, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, go ahead and feel free to email us at sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but you can always go over there, check out what's going on. You never know what the heck might pop up, so swing on over there, see what's happening. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to get that link, just click on it, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burketime. That's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E, in case you're looking for me there. I know the first E in my last name is silent, and people kind of miss it, but there you go. So, all right, well, while we wait for Dan to perpetuate here, I can tell you that him and Mr. Fantasy were perfect for the weekend on their playoff picks, while Schomburg Stu and I were 2-2. So heading into championship weekend, Mr. Fantasy is actually 6-2. He is a game ahead of Dan, who, of course, is now 5-3. And then Schomburg Stu and I are tied at 4-4. So we will see how much of a differential we get this week on picks. I really think it's going to be how many people are going to support Philadelphia against Minnesota. I'm not sure how many people are still on the Jacksonville bandwagon, but I now have this unadulterated hatred for the Atlanta Falcons, but that's a story for another time there. But all right, well, let me see if this works. All right, you there this time?
Yeah, I'm just having connectivity with my Bluetooth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was talking to you before we got started, and I could hear the dogs, but I never heard you. So, but all right, so we are all set and up and running then. It's been very exciting. And Dan, it looks like Andrew McCutchen is going to be a Giant. I can't complain much about that. And we finally got Garrett Cole traded, so we don't have to worry about those issues. So, you know, I know that Dan is very excited about the fact that it was announced today that apparently Danica Patrick is now dating Aaron Rodgers. So,
good for them.
But, Dan and I decided, well, actually, I kind of decided, Dan just kind of played along, that we would piece together some top fives at each position, but we were going to do it kind of based on our fantasy league. And our league is a little different than a lot of people's. You know, for one, we have position-specific outfielders. So you actually have the guys who play left, center, and right. Well, we won't get to them till Thursday. But today we're going to do pitchers. We're going to do starters. We're going to do setup guys, and we're going to do closers. So I figured we would jump right in with the starters, Dan. And I was just kind of wondering, do you want to, you know, I figure we'd start at five and work our way up, because I figure we're going to be pretty similar at the top. Do you want to go with your number five guy, or do you want mine out there?
You can go first.
All right. Well, I decided one of the things that really kind of swings me towards this guy at number five, he was just 12-11 last year. But in our league, you have to make a specific number of innings per week. So you always need those guys at the back end who are going to get you some innings. And I really think this year could be a big breakout year for him. Dan, my number five guy is Carlos Martinez of the St. Louis Cardinals. So where did you go?
I went a little different. I'm just looking for guys with, 200 innings mainly, and then I tried to just steer clear of the obvious, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale. But at the bottom of my list, and there's really not a complete order to it, but I went with Gerrit Cole. I figured he's going to be starting with the Astros. He's going to get the starts. One of the points we're looking for in our league is strikeouts. I expect him to get you 200 of them. He's got a low whip, which is another category we have. And then his winning percentage, being with the Astros, should bounce up.
Yeah, I am a little more partial to National League pitchers than American League guys, just because of, the whip and stuff like that. It's always a little lower in the National League, because obviously they have to face the pitcher, where, in the American League, you actually face another hitter. My list was, a little obvious. Martinez was my only real surprise. At number four, I dropped in. I have Corey Kluber of the Indians, 18-4 last year. That ERA was just 2.25, which is incredible in the American League. He racked up, 265 strikeouts. He did just get over 200 innings. So I look for similar numbers, if not even better. Maybe the ERA will come up a little bit. If he was in the National League, he may be one or two on my list. But being in the American League, that plugs him in at four. So that's where I ended up at four. Who did you go with?
Number four, I don't know if you'd call him an obvious, but in a deep league, again, you're looking for, you mentioned earlier, innings pitched. You're definitely looking for your innings guys, and Justin Marge is one of them. I think he averages, 30 starts a season pretty much, and he'll give you at least 200 innings. He'll give you 200 strikeouts. I think the down is probably the wins. I don't know if he's – well, but that's the turnaround with the Giants this year. Hopefully they turn around and get the win. So it's kind of – it's like a seesaw. You're good with the bad.
So, yeah, and then, staying with the obvious, number three for me, I went with Chris Sale. All you got to do is say 308 strikeouts, and that should be a big enough reason. I know he's probably one or two on most people's list, but again, I have that odd, partial thing for National League guys. So I've got National League guys at one and two. But, Sale was 17-8 with a 290 ERA and 32 starts. Again, really important in our league, 214 and a third innings, because we have to get to almost 35 innings a week, which can be a monumental task in today's game. That's where I am with that. I got Sale at three, so who do you have?
Number three, I think the Twins are going to continue to kind of do their thing this year. I went with Urban Fantana. I mean, he's got 16 wins last year, I believe it was. He's had 63 starts over the last 2 years. He's going to give you almost 200 innings, a season, hopefully this season. He's got about 150 Ks average, and then he has a low whip. And, one of the smaller categories that, this won't be brought up too much because it's just kind of a bonus if you get it, is he's got 7 complete games in the last 2 years.
Yeah. So, which are hard to come by. Yeah, if he'd have been, if he'd have been in the National League, is he that old already?
Yeah. So I had to take a look at that one.
Wow. Yeah. Moving on, number two. Again, no real surprise here. I plugged in Max Scherzer. 16-6 with a 2.51 ERA and 31 starts. Again, just over 200 innings, and then the big total of 268 strikeouts. Another guy, like you mentioned, whip. He's one of the guys. Kluber, Sale, and Scherzer are all under one for a whip, so it's difficult to argue with that kind of stuff. So he plugs in at number two for me. So again, no shock how my list is kind of shaken out here.
Yeah, And that's kind of why I thought you'd go this way, so that's why I tried to just try to pick some other guys that I thought might be available out there, so that we're just not talking about five same guys. But my number two had 17 wins last year. 28 starts and 16, 33 last year. 200 innings, I expect, and then, the average whip is about 1.3. One of the categories we said is winning percentage. I think that might boost up this season. And then I think his strikeouts aren't high. I don't know if he'll help you with that category as greatly as some of the other guys we talked about. But, I think he's still pretty young and coming into his own as a starting pitcher. So we might see that number go up next year.
And who was it? I didn't hear who you say who it was.
Oh, Zach Davies. I guess.
Jumping into number one, I mean, no surprise, it's Clayton Kershaw, 18-4, 231 in 27 starts. I know it's time to start kind of looking at his health issues. And I think if he misses more starts this year, it may knock him off the mountain. But as of right now, he's still the number one pitcher anywhere you go or anywhere you look. It's Kershaw. It's a pretty obvious choice. So yeah, I plugged him in right there, and that's where I'm going. So that sets me up there with my five.
Chris Archer. I guess I've had him on fantasy teams over the past couple of years, but I've known about him, but for him to start getting a lot of national coverage and team running him, looking at his numbers since 2014, he's made all his starts. He's going to hit you at least 200 innings. Again, like I think everyone we've talked about, you can expect high 250 strikeouts. And one little stupid added thing, I don't want to say stupid, but another way to score a point in early, grounders in double play. So
yes.
He kind of gives you a high end on that, but which, might be pretty nice. And then, of course, the low whip. I do believe, though, the win column might get a little low on you with him if he stays in Tampa Bay.
So, yeah, since obviously we did starters, how do you get to your bullpen? You go to your relievers. So we'll move right into setup guys and figure out how we're going to stretch this out to our bullpen. And my number five setup guy this year, I think you could call it off the radar just because I think this team is going to be really bad. But I'm going with Kyle Bearclaw. I think it's Bearclaw. It might be Bearclaw of the Miami Marlins. He was 6-2 last year with a 3 ERA in 66 games. Covering 66 innings, so he's that one kind of inning guy. He did pick up 22 holds. So, he's kind of that bridge guy you're looking for. And holds is a category in our league. So, that makes it a little bit of a deal there when you can kind of jump on it. My fear, like any time you're picking one of these guys, my fear is the fact that they may end up making him their closer because they're just so bad, and then that would kind of eliminate him from this category. But, right now he's my number five. In them 66 innings, he had 76 strikeouts. So I went that route just, I guess you could call it a little off the radar. So Bearclaw of the Marlins is my number five. Who's your fifth setup guy? Oh, you're either muted or I don't know where you are, but I can't hear you.
It is myself. I'm acting.
There you go.
Let me bounce back to my number five. I guess I almost went through it all. Starting from the bottom up, I went with Matt Bowman. 33rd season. When you said reliever, I thought you said setup. So all my guys are setup guys.
Yeah, no, it is setup guys. It's setup guys first and then closers.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, never mind. But I went with Matt Bowman. Third season, like I said, he's had 36 holds in the last two. He should get more of that this year. And then, oh, did I? I'm still on air, aren't I?
Yeah, you're still. I can still hear. Good. So. Or you were good. Oh, well, there you go. See, Dan dropped off, so now we have to give Dan the opportunity to repopulate himself there. He was mentioning Matt Bowman, and I know I saw his stats. He pitched in 75 games last year, 3-6 with a 3.99 ERA. He did pick up a couple saves, 46 strikeouts, only walked 18 guys. His whip was 1.19, so we'll – you know, Dan is starting off there. We will see how or why we're having so many issues keeping Dan on. But while we wait for him to come back, I will drop my number four. And for number four, I went with Pat Neshek, who's back with the Phillies now. He signed with the Phillies this offseason. Last year, he was 5-3 in a combined year with the Phillies and the Rockies, a 1.59 ERA, pitched in 71 games. He actually did pick up a save. What I like about Neshek is the fact that the guy just doesn't give up runs. He's 1.59 ERA last year. Just fantastic. 69 strikeouts in those 71 games, but interestingly, just 6 walks in 62 and a third innings. His whip was 0.87. So yeah, that's pretty good numbers there. So I'm going with Neshek as my number four. See if we can get Dan back in here. All right, Dan, I know you went Matt Bowman 5. Who's your number 4?
Number 4 is going to be Nick Vincent. I forgot what team he's on right now. But he's going to hit 60 innings and has a low whip, so he might be a good addition to this team.
Yeah, he's a Mariner, so.
Oh yeah, that's where he was from.
Yeah. So, all right, well, you know, number three, I don't know, you know, call me names, call me what you want. I like Carl Edwards Jr. I really think he's being groomed to be a closer. I don't know if he'll get there this year, so that may make him a really good setup guy. 5-4 with a 2.98 ERA in 73 games. You know, a little high on the walk total at 38. I think it's something he's got to work on, but he did get 94 strikeouts in 66 and a third innings. So he's going to give you numbers there. That whip is just 1.01. I know it won't be this year because they signed a couple guys to close. So he'll be, you know, probably one of their main setup guys. So I'm looking for him to be able to kind of jump on and really perform this year. He had 25 holds last year, and I really think he's got the opportunity for that number to go up over 30. So I'm going to plug him in at number 3 as my guy there. So who's your number 3?
My number 3 will be Taylor Rogers. I believe he's with the Twins, and I expect him to be 50 holds in. I'm not sure if he'll be a full-time setup guy, but he did have. Damn it, I forgot to put my headphones back up. So here we go again. I went with Taylor Rogers. I believe he's with the Twins. 50 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Approximately 50 strikeouts per 50 innings. I'm not sure if he's going to be the full-time setup guy yet, but he did get 30 holds last year.
Yeah,
where are you at?
Huge.
And number 2.
Number 2, you know, I went with Archie Bradley of the Diamondbacks. You know, this is another one of those situations I worry that they're going to be like, okay, well, you're going to close. I really think he's more valuable as a setup guy because as a former starter, he can go multiple innings. 63 games last year, 3-3 with a 1.73 ERA. Struck out 79 guys in those 63 innings and had that 1.04 whip. He's another 25 holds guy. So you know, I really think he's got an opportunity as he continues to develop as a setup guy to rack up some numbers. My just fear is they're, you know, they're going to kind of go like, oh, hey, okay, it's time for you to close. But I think as of right now, he's still a setup guy. So I'm going that route and hoping it works out for me. Who's two for you?
Pat Nisha. You know, a lot of my guys kind of fall in the same category. But, you know, 60-plus innings. Well, hopefully, you know, he's picked up this inning. Averaging at least, I would say, 1.2 shots per game. You do the math on that one. And then 23 holds last year. So I think he should see a little bit more of the playing time. And then with the offense that they have, they should be able to keep them in the game. I lost for words. And then not only that, with Wade Davis being signed there as the closer, as long as he gets it to him, he's going to get more holds. The downside, of course, Big Jack is what? Plays in Colorado.
So, all right, well, number one for me is the guy who kind of reinvented the setup role a couple years ago in the playoffs, and that's Andrew Miller with the Indians. 4-3 last year with a 1. All right, I'm thinking maybe we're jinxed today here, as it was my turn to get thrown off, and then Dan was gone. So let's see if I can get Dan back. Are you back there?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what happened, so I thought maybe I got kicked off.
Yeah, no, it was my, like I said, it was my turn to get thrown off. I heard the magical beep and I was gone. But like I said, my number one was Andrew Miller. I hope all the stats kind of got out there. So go ahead and toss your number one guy out there.
My number one comes from Washington, Ryan Madsen. You know, he's got 60-60 innings. Strikeout, so you can expect that kind of to get your totals, and then he should be full-time with Washington, so I think you're supposed to get a boost in play, so he should definitely fit well into their system. And with Doolittle, hopefully he can get some
more. All right, well, you know, I had a really difficult time just trying to pick closers, because there's just so many to go with, and I just decided to kind of have a little fun with it, and I started out with number five. I decided that Brad Hand of the San Diego Padres is going to be my number one. You know, of course, the challenge here may be the fact that he just may not get a lot of closing opportunities. But he was 21-26 for saves last year in 72 games, 3-4 with a 2.16 ERA, and he did strike out over 100 guys, 104 guys, and that WHIP was under one. It was 0.93. So, I'm going that route with him. I'm going with Brad Hand as my number five. Where did you go?
I'm going to have to call back in a minute.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
All right, well, I'll keep going then if Dan is going to kind of reload. I decided at number five I'm going with Mr. Fantasy's guy. I like Raciel Iglesias of the Cincinnati Reds. He was 3-3 last year with a 2.49 ERA in 63 games. Just, you know, 28 saves and 30 opportunities. Again, you know, you worry that there are going to be enough save opportunities there, but, you know, if he picked up 28 last year, he could easily get to 30. Another big strikeout guy is he picked up 92 strikeouts in 76 innings, and his WHIP was 1.11. So I think that's a really, really big, you know, big number there. So. As I, you know, move up, I cruise along. Another guy who, you know, as odd as it may seem, I don't know. Well, maybe I don't know if you want to call him under the radar, but I like Corey Kniebel of the Brewers. He was just 1-4 with a 1.78 ERA, and he did blow six saves, but he was still 39-45 in 76 games. Big, big strikeout totals, 126 as a reliever in those 76 innings. You know, his problem is his walks get him into trouble. He did have 40 walks, so that's something he's going to have to work on cutting down. But his, you know, his WHIP was just 1.16. So he's my number two guy, or number three guy, excuse me. Number two, I went with Craig Kimbrell. He was actually 5-0 last year with a 1.43 ERA in 67 games, 35 out of 39 in saves. Another big, big strikeout guy. He had 126 strikeouts in his 69 innings. So he's definition of kind of the back end guy that, you know, comes in and slams the door, and, you know, that's just huge. And then while we're on that, my number one guy is Kenley Jansen, 5-0 with a 1.32 ERA in 65 games, 41 of 42 in save opportunities. Yeah, he blew just one save last year, 109 strikeouts in 68 1/3 innings. So, yeah, just monstrous numbers there for Jansen. Even more impressive, 7 walks. His WHIP last year was 0.75. So, yeah, there's my 5 closers. Let's roll Dan back in here and see if he can throw his guys out for us. Go ahead, Dan. Run through your 5 guys with some rundown there, you know, starting at 5.
Starting at 5, I have Jim Johnson. He was traded to the Angels from Atlanta. He had approximately 42 saves over the next 2 years. He's a veteran. Low to mid-wit. But I think he's going to get the majority of the closing time. And the other two guys who I can't think of off the top of my head right now, maybe, I don't know, I think he's just going to get chopped. I don't want to talk ill of the other two guys, but I think he would be the one to get chopped. At number 4, another one of your guys, Edwin Diaz, Mariners. He went 52 out of 60 saves over the last 2 years. Low WHIP, the average on batting, and then, well, you know, probably the average. Actually, getting about 80 Ks, and then batting with the Mariners. Number 3, he just got brought over to the Brewers, and Corey Feeble. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he holds a role. Only blown a handful of saves, and I think 76 innings, so you hope to get him close to half the games from the season. Number 2, I know you know who I was going to go with him. That's Fernando Rodney. Going to the Twins, I think he's got a great opportunity there. And then, you know, with his setup guy, getting a term, I think he's going to make at least 50 appearances. And number 1, where he went from Tampa. Biggest reason I go for this guy is that maybe he gets traded or they're only putting him in situations where they're going to win. So I won't hurt him negatively. That's Alex Colome. It's approximately a strikeout per inning, a low WHIP. That kind of rounds out my 5 closers.
Yeah, and interestingly, I saw that the Twins just added Addison Reed to their bullpen. So they're in a good position. You know, they're gonna, I'm guessing Rodney is gonna close. You know, they brought in Zach Duke, who, you know, if he's healthy, gonna be good from the left side, and then Reed is a really good setup guy from the right side. So that's gonna be an interesting bullpen there. So
yeah, but, you know,
but all right, well, let's
into it. I felt like the Twins are gonna be even better than they were last year.
Yeah, and then tomorrow Dan and I will do our second baseman and shortstop. Hopefully we won't have as many technical difficulties, but, you know, we'll go that route. And Wednesday is going to be first and third. Thursday we're doing our outfield, and then Friday we're doing our catchers, and then, you know, any sleepers we may have missed or guys that just didn't quite make our list because, like I said, there were a ton of closers you could have went with, so... There will be guys out there, but let's try to catch up a little here. Dan, over the weekend, we finally had Gerrit Cole get dealt. He goes to the Houston Astros for one guy who's ready, who's been in the major leagues for a couple years, you know, kind of off and on, and then three prospects. The Pirates get Joe Musgrove, Michael Feliz. They're both right-handed pitchers. Then they get a big-time third base prospect in Colin Moran and an outfielder in Jason Martin. You know, I hate the fact that the Pirates did this and they're kind of rebuilding, but I think they did okay in return. How do you feel about it?
Did you get that five guys?
They have it listed as four here. They have it listed as four. So.
It actually sounded like you had five names in there.
So yeah, Musgrove is he's just turned 25. That's a couple years in the majors with the Astros. He pitched in 38 games last year, but just made 15 starts. I'm sure he'll be a full-time starter for the Pirates. He's supposed to be a top-of-the-rotation guy. He was a 7-8 with a 4.77 ERA and a couple saves. But, you know, you look with regular numbers, you know, I definitely think he'll be okay. I don't know much about Michael Feliz. I think he, for some reason, I want to say I thought he pitched a little with the Astros last year. He's just 24. He's actually bounced up and down with the Astros for about three seasons. 46 games last year out of the bullpen. He was 4-2, but his ERA was 5.63. So they're definitely going to have to work on getting his numbers down. A lot of innings and all that fun stuff. I remember Moran being a name I heard quite a bit. He's a former first-round pick. He was sixth overall. He got seven games with the Astros last year, so no big deal, but he did hit .364. He split time last year between Class A and Triple A. He combined to hit .301 with 18 homers and 65 RBIs. He's another guy. He's just 24. So they're you know, raking in a lot of young, kind of major league ready guys here. Jason Martin is a 22-year-old outfielder. He split his time last year between high Class A and Double A. What did he hit here? Where's your batting average, Jason? Why can't I find it? He hit .278. 18 homers. He did hit 35 doubles, and he also stole 16 bases. So that's kind of that's what they're getting in return for Gerrit Cole. So they got a pretty good haul, Dan. If these guys work out, maybe they'll be okay in a couple years.
You can only hope. I mean, on the other side of it too, they don't have a huge drawing power. So, you know, I think it's in their best interest to just kind of move on with the product that they have and start young.
Yeah, and then, luckily, you know, if they're going to strip it down, the Pirates kept going. I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but it's being reported that Andrew McCutchen is on his way to San Francisco. We've been talking about it for a while. Now, in return here, the Pirates are going to get two more prospects. They're going to get Brian Reynolds, who's a 22-year-old outfielder. I saw him described as mid-range is how they put it, but he did hit .312 in 121 games last year in high Class A. 10 bombs, hit 9 triples, and also had 26 doubles. He put up, that's pretty good numbers for there. The big guy, they're getting a another young pitcher in return is Kyle Crick is going along in the deal. He's a former first-round pick that people have been kind of waiting for him to get to San Francisco. He did make 14 relief appearances, or 30 relief appearances last year, with a .306 ERA. He spent most of his time, obviously, in AAA. It looks like the Giants decided he was going to be a reliever. I don't know if the Pirates will try to make him a starter again, But as a reliever at AAA last year, he had a 2.76 ERA in 24 games. Did pick up six saves. So, you know, we'll have to kind of see what the Pirates decide. He had been a starter before that. You know, he's made, what's it got here? You know, he had made 23 starts in 2016, and, you know, that was kind of how it looked like that was the path he was on. We'll have to see if I kind of got the feeling Pittsburgh will probably try to plug him back into their rotation. But, yeah, I mean, in reality, it looks like they made a couple of really solid deals. I mean, at least the names they're getting back look good. You know, just kind of dependent on how it goes, right?
Yeah, I mean, how excited are you to go to the Giants?
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be nice. I've seen people complain about, you know, him not being able to play center field there, but I think he'll be just fine. You know, it's just one of those fun things that people do, and you know, I think everybody's kind of happy to go to a winner. So, you know, he's going to get the opportunity to go to a team that looks like it's, you know, going to be built to win. You're going to have a healthy Bumgarner, and, you know, you'll get, you know, hopefully Cueto and Samardzija bounce back, and you've added Evan Longoria. So, you know, I can't see it being a bad thing. But, you know, we'll have to see if this, you know, if this opens up playing time in Pittsburgh. You know, they have a big-time outfield prospect. I'm trying to remember his name. I want to see if I can find it here. I want to say Austin Meadows. I'm wondering if that's going to open up some room for him to take over the center field job. I know I saw they had a – when they edited their depth chart, they moved Marte to center with Polanco in right, and they have Adam Frazier right now as the starting left fielder. I don't think that's going to stick. I would be shocked if it's not Austin Meadows. You know, once the season gets going, or maybe after, you know, he gets past his arbitration date. They do already have Colin Moran penciled in as their starting third baseman. So, you know, it's kind of interesting they went that route. You know, Musgrove is in their pitching rotation as well. So they, you know, they added all those guys in. Since the trade with the Giants isn't official, you know, they can't plug any of those guys in yet because they don't really know who they're getting. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, it'll shake out to be kind of an interesting young team again in Pittsburgh. You know, we've been through this before, so we'll see how it goes. But, you know, Dan, I know, you know, we mentioned it before, you know, Josh Harrison is going to be 31. You know, Polanco's 29, headed on 30, or excuse me, Marte is, you know, I know Harrison has had a lot more interest than Marte. Is he the next guy to go? I mean, at this point, why hang on to him? Oh, wait, either your headphones cut out or your Bluetooth popped off because you're all faded.
Can you hear me now? Because I can hear you clearly.
There you go.
You know, I think because of his age, I think that's one of the big factors in why he should move him. You know, 3 years down the line, 4 years, I don't remember the terms of the contract. A lot harder to kind of move. And not only that, if it's a couple of years left and, you know, he goes out to free agency, he doesn't get anything in return. So I think the time's now, and, you know, if they handle everything right, they could take over the White Sox in the best chances.
Yeah, and now, you know, interestingly, the Pirates did sign their closer as well. Felipe Rivero is going to be the guy closing the door. They gave him a 4-year deal. Let's see. Do they have the numbers here? It looks like they just have it listed out by year. It's 2.5 for this coming year, 4 million in 19, 5.25 in 20, and then 7.25 in 21. He also gets 2 million to sign, and then there's two 10-year, $10 million options for 22 and 23 with a couple of buyouts. So they, you know, they, while, you know, while they're moving some guys, they're locking up others. I know, you know, Rivero is just 26, so giving him a 4-year deal isn't that big of a deal. You know, and then of course, if he does well and they have to move him, he now has a movable contract. So, but yeah, and then you know, just some of the other things that you know we kind of skirted here. You know, the Nationals agreed to a two-year deal to bring Howie Kendrick back. So you know he'll be a solid bench guy. It looks like it's going to be about $7 million total. And then I saw, I'm sure you were excited about this, but did you see your guy, Adrian Gonzalez, got a deal with the Mets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised, but happy for him, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we kind of figured he would end up somewhere. I thought maybe it would be in the American League. But, yeah, you know, he's headed to the Mets. You know, obviously they... It's not a huge deal because Atlanta's paying him $17 million this season. But, you know, he'll be there with, you know, I'm assuming he's there to kind of groom Dominic Smith, you know, because he appears to look like the future, you know, at first base for the Mets. So, you know, we'll have to see how much playing time he's actually going to get. But, you know, even so, it's still a... You know, maybe he'll get the starting job, and Smith is only 22, so maybe he'll go play in AAA for a month or two before coming up, and you know, get some regular at bats. But it's definitely interesting. You know, and of course Gonzalez has to pass a physical with all those injuries and stuff. They want to make sure he's okay. So, we ended up getting a lot of movement, but still none of the, none of the big guys. You got to wonder with Garrett Cole being traded if maybe this shakes up the pitching market a little bit. But, you know, with Cole going to the Astros, though, Dan, how confident are you that they could repeat here now because they have, you know, your guy Dallas Keuchel, you know, they picked up Justin Verlander. Now they added Cole to that rotation, which you got to assume is Lance McCullers and I would guess Colin McHugh, you know, that may be the best starting five in baseball.
Yeah, well, it's almost like the NBA.
You know, and on the plus side, they save themselves some money by not having to sign, you know, a Darvish or an Arrieta. You know, so if they feel they need to add somewhere else, you know, they're still sitting on all their money. You know, they could go out and add. I mean, I don't know what they, you know, they might think they need. Let me see what their projected lineup is here now, and we'll kind of see how they're set up. But I think they should be pretty well set, or at least I believe they are. I mean, we know second, short, and third, they're okay for sure with, you know, Altuve, Correa, and, you know, all right, let's see what we got here. Here would be the Astros' projected lineup next year would be Springer in center, Bregman at third, Altuve at second, Correa at short, Reddick in right, Gurriel at first, Gonzalez in left, Gattis as the DH, and McCann as the catcher. So I don't know, maybe they want to upgrade left field. Yeah, they want to upgrade left field over Gonzalez, or maybe they want a little better DH than Gattis now. You know, they could jump right out on the free agent market and do it.
Yeah, what would you look for? course, kind of maybe not so much watching Gaddis's career, but I don't know about it since he came up. But, Stanley, I don't think he's reached the potential that everyone expected. Like, I would go if you could upgrade it to the age position. That's what I would do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's pull up the list here and see what's left. Or, you know, obviously there's not a, you know, a ton of stuff left. I mean, you know, I don't see them going out and chasing down like, you know, an Eric Hosmer or anybody like that. But, you know, how about, you know, what could be interesting? I mean, what if they added like your guy Lucas Duda and he was the left-handed DH?
That might be a travel deal, killer deal.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if there's a really big outfield upgrade they could make unless they were going to jump on and try to bring in a Lorenzo Cain. But I don't think they're looking for that kind of long-term deal. You know, maybe they add a veteran guy, you know, maybe they bring it, you know, Aoki back, or you know, even your guy Melky, you know, could be a part-time left fielder and DH there. You know, that could be a good little bit of a fill there if they wanted to go that route. But yeah, there's not really a big, huge name that kind of jumps out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I think, you know, Duda could be a fun ad for them as the left-handed, you know, kind of DH complement if they were looking to do something like that. And then, you know, obviously he could play first base every once in a while if they wanted to go that route. You know, it would be fun to see him hitting that ballpark. I think that could be quite interesting. You know, there are some older veteran guys, you know, like I don't think Brandon Phillips or Jose Reyes really fit there. But, you know, they're, you know, at least they're interesting names. Curtis Granderson is out there, but he had kind of a down year. You know, Jason Worth is 39. I don't know if you're looking to go, you know, I guess if you're looking to add a veteran guy, you know, if you could get him on a one-year deal or something. You know, don't forget your guy John Jay is still out there as well. So, you know, that could be something. But yeah, you know, there's some interesting names. But yeah, you know, like I was saying, now they have, you know, the money to do it. You know, they just, you know, they gave up four pretty solid guys to get Cole, but I think he's definitely worth it. And you know, it didn't cost them anything. You know, they're not doling out $200 million to Arrieta or $20 million a year to Cobb or whatever you was asking for. You know, they're in a really good spot to repeat, I think, which is difficult to do.
Well, I mean, we've seen this show there back. We haven't seen anyone win since what was the Yankees? The 98, 99,
yeah. It's been a long time since you know anybody's actually you know actually repeated. I'll have to double check there to see if you were correct there on your statement. Who was, you know, like, yeah, like we know the Royals went back to back, but they lost first and then won. Let's see here. The Yankees went in 98, 99, and 2000, and 2001. So yeah, it looks like they won 98, 99, 2000, then they went again in 2001 and lost to the Diamondbacks. So yeah, that was it. So, uh, Can you go before that, though? Can you know the team before the Yankees that won back-to-back?
Was it the 80s or the 70s?
The who?
I guess that would be three. No, I was thinking the 80s and the 70s.
Actually, it was 92-93. The Blue Jays won back-to-back.
Oh, that's right.
So, but yeah, you know, just kind of looking, there really aren't too many. You know, the Yankees did it again in 77, 78. The 70s was kind of dominated that way. The Reds went in 75, 76, and then the A's were 72, 73, 74. So there were some big-time dynasties then. But yeah, they talk about, you know, like hockey being tough to repeat. It's difficult to do in baseball as well. So, you know, it's just, one of those things you gotta kind of figure out. But yeah, it's injuries and just the length of the season, and you know, you just never know how things are gonna shake out. So, gotta load it up. I mean, you know, how many times have we seen a team, I think you and I were told on the Giants last year. I mean, I know I was. I really thought they were going to be a contender, and they ended up with one of the worst records in baseball due to, you know, injury and poor performance and stuff like that. I mean, it's a weird game. I mean, it's probably the hardest game to predict.
Yeah, it's getting there. We haven't been so great the last couple of years. Had some surprises.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one of those, you know, one of those fun things that we end up dealing with. But, you know, maybe this is the year. You know, this is the year I hit all my picks and I sweep the category. So, you know, just like I do in football every year. Oh, so. You know, because we know how that goes. But, you know, speaking of, I guess we might as well talk a little bit about it. How much did you get to watch this week? I know you had some plans and stuff. Did you get to see any football over the weekend? I mean, did you see your Vikings miraculous, whatever the hell you want to call that?
It was the Minnesota Miracle.
So,
I missed the Titans lose to the Patriots. I saw most of the day game up to a point where I won and you lost. So,
yes.
I mean, you had good points. You had good points for picking the Falcons, but it was the Eagles' time.
I have so much outright hatred for the Falcons right now. It's not even funny. So.
Sunday afternoon, I tried to take in mostly. I saw mostly the first quarter, and then the last quarter of that Jaguars Pittsburgh game. It's been fun listening to all the Blake Bortles hate, but at the same point, I think you said it. He's kind of the Jaguars Jay Cutler. So
yeah,
that was a fun game to watch. But I mean, it really came down to the best matchup was the Saints and the Vikings this weekend. Granted, of course, I didn't see the Patriots game, but from what I heard, I didn't
watch
much. But, I think it was definitely a tearjerker if you're a Minnesota fan, but it had everything you need. And with that finish that, you know, some are saying that the NFL called to have the Saints throw the game. So I love conspiracy talk, but that one killed me. I pretty much had given up. I was about to get up and go do what I was going to do. And with what was it, 10, 11 seconds left, I just, I'm like, well, let me just finish it out. And, I started yelling for him to get out of bounds. And then I realized there was no one there to tackle him. So I started yelling, go. And, you know, my wife, like, I never seen you so excited over a football game. it was fun. Yeah. Great finish.
I mean, I was.
You know, you, get a little sad if your team lost, but, you know, I took it in good stride.
Yeah, you know, I was just kind of like, God, you know, this is over. You know, the Vikings are out. Damn it. I'm 1-3 for the week. That really sucks. You know, then he throws the ball, and I'm like, well, you know, they completed it. Can he get out of bounds? And I was kind of like you. I was like, what the hell just happened? And all of a sudden, there's nobody there to tackle him because, you know, the one defensive back made an incredibly stupid play and ended up taking out the only guy who had a chance to make the tackle. So I was like, holy crap. That was, I guess that was the first time in NFL history you had what would be considered a walk-off touchdown, you know, with no time on the clock like that. So,
oh, everyone was excited to say that, though. Walk-off touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boy, they couldn't say it enough, could they? I think I heard everybody use the phrase. So. You know, it was just like, yeah, he walks it off. So.
You know, and if you.
But yeah, I got
it. You would have saw the Timberwolves win last night too.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't make that, but I did. You know, I did. You know, and I think this has got to be just the goofiest rule that they had to come back out and kick the extra point.
Oh, I thought they didn't.
But here's the humorous thing about that, though, Dan. The by kneeling down. The Vikings cost a lot of people a bunch of money because I believe they were a 5-point favorite. So instead of kicking the extra point, they changed the betting line. You know, they screwed up the betting line. So I'm sure there were quite a few people who had money on the Vikings that were ticked off.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right, well, me, Dan and I are going to cut out of here. Hopefully we won't have so many technical difficulties tomorrow. That really sucked. We'll do second baseman shortstop tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. You know what to do otherwise. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter if you want to hunt us down. We're cool with that. As always, a big thanks for listening to us live, but don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go listen to it at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.